brother, for the introduction and for the request for the interest in your prayers, that the many thoughts that I have can be brought forth in such a way that we will see the word of the Lord for its meaning, simply and plainly. Before I enter into the subject matter, one of the things that I did want to call to your attention, we sometimes in concerning these prayers that we offered this morning for the needs, the special needs that have been brought forth, we sometimes get the idea that we shouldn't ask for personal special consideration from the Lord in our needs, and that He is not willing to isolate us, so to speak, by bringing to us a special blessing considering our needs. No man who I did not know very well, this happened quite a while back, he had great faith. And so there was a plague of army worms that was going through the country, and it was destroying everyone's crops. So he went to the Lord and he asked Him to help him and to recognize his need, because if he lost his crop, he would probably lose his place. There was a large flock of blackbirds that came and roosted for several days on his fence. And as the army worms came across his neighbor's property, they were eaten before they could go across the fence onto his. Obviously, this was a miracle. But the thing I want to point out is this: God's willingness to answer your personal prayers for your personal needs when you have faith and when you try to serve the Lord with all your heart. This next one happened within a year ago. It happened to my granddaughter. She had a thing they call viral meningitis. And the doctors said, we have no medication to work on this. So the best thing you can do is to take her home. When she was put in the hospital initially, she had a high fever. And then she was administered to. How long or whether it was instantaneous, the record you couldn't tell, except the next time the nurse took the temperature, it was normal after she was administered to. About 3 or 4 days later, she was gaining her strength back, and you could hardly tell she had been sick. Today, as near as I can tell, and those others who probably are a lot more knowledgeable than I, she is going about her childly developmental activities just like she would if this had not happened. So God once again has performed His marvelous work. But the thing that I'm saying is this: His request is that we reach out with that broken heart and contrite spirit and ask for the needs that we have, not to make a show, but because we have that need, and because we want to serve Him and keep His commandments, because we want His light to show in our lives. So we can expect, and we should expect, and have faith, and be willing to expose ourselves to that great responsibility which goes with being able to have those blessings that only God can give. We're going to begin this morning by reading from the 6th chapter of Amos. No, I believe before I go to that one, I'll go to this one in Proverbs. 17th chapter of Proverbs. And this is kind of a side issue, except it's something that we should be careful to recognize and to live with. As we go about the things that I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm just going to read the 14th verse. The beginning of strife is as one who letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. In other words, if there is something that comes to us, we must carefully consider how we pass it on. The names that we talk about, the people who hold those names. Because when we give it, when we receive it, we can control what it does. But once we pass it on, once it's said, you can't take it back. Once it has gone for others to handle and consider and to rehearse and pass on, once it is given over for them to meddle with, to change, to discuss, you can't control the thing. So we must seriously consider the thing that we say to one another, about each other especially. And when things come to us, we should be quick to entreat the Lord in behalf of those who are being talked about, if they are found in need or if they have made a mistake, that the Lord would touch them and point out their mistake to them and give them that strength and humility, the desire to turn from those things. With this thought in mind, now I'm going to Amos. If I can find him here, I seem to have lost him. The 6th chapter, I'll start with the first verse. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calneh, and see from thence, and rather from thence go ye to Hamath the great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be thou better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seed of violence to come near, to lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch thyself upon thy couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Now I'm going to go to the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi. I'm going to back up from the actual reading here. I'll begin in verse 21. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abomination, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. But behold, that great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall be rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify, and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away and telleth them, there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasp them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell and the devil, and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, from whence they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men, and denieth the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received, and we need no more. And in fine, woe unto all those who tremble and are angry because of the truth of God. For behold, he that is built upon the rock receiveth it with gladness, and he that is built upon a sandy foundation trembleth, lest he fall. Woe be unto him that will say, we have received the word of God, and we need no more word of God, for we have enough. For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth I will give more, and from them that shall say, we have enough, shall be taken away even that which we have, or that they have. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. Then I'm going to go to 1 Nephi in the 7th chapter. A I'll start at verse 1. And now it came to pass that after I, Nephi, had read these things which were engraven upon the plates of brass, my brethren came unto me and said unto me, What meaneth these things which we have read? Behold, are they to be understood according to the things which are spiritual, which shall come to pass according to the Spirit and not the flesh? And I, Nephi, said unto them, Behold, they were made manifest unto the prophets by the voice of the Spirit. And by the Spirit are all things made known unto the prophets, which shall come upon the children of men according to the flesh. Wherefore the things which I have read are things pertaining to things both temporal and spiritual. For it appears that the house of Israel, sooner or later, will be scattered upon all the face of the earth and also among all nations. And behold, there are many who are already lost from the knowledge of those who are at Jerusalem. Yea, the more part of all the tribes have been led away. And they are scattered to and fro upon the isles of the sea. And whither they are, none of us knoweth, save that we know that they have been led away. And since they have been led away, these things have been prophesied concerning them, and also concerning all those who shall hereafter be scattered and be confounded, because of the Holy One of Israel, for against him will they harden their hearts. Wherefore they shall be scattered among all nations, and shall be hated of all men. Nevertheless, after they have been nourished by the Gentiles, rather nursed by the Gentiles, and the Lord has lifted up his hand upon the Gentiles and set them up for a standard, and their children have been carried in their arms, and their daughters have been carried upon their shoulders. Behold, these things of which are spoken are temporal. For thus are the covenants of the Lord with our fathers. And it meaneth us in the days to come, and also all our brethren who are of the house of Israel. And it meaneth that the time cometh that after all the house of Israel have been scattered and confounded, that the Lord will raise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles, yea, even upon the face of this land. By them shall our seed be scattered. And after our seed is scattered, the Lord will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles, which shall be great, of great worth unto our seed. Wherefore it is likened unto their being nourished by the Gentiles, and being carried in their arms and upon their shoulders. And it shall also be of worth unto the Gentiles, and not only unto the Gentiles, but unto all of the house of Israel, unto the making known of the covenants of the Father of heaven unto Abraham, saying, In thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And I would, my brethren, that ye should know that after all the kindreds of the earth can know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations. Wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations in bringing about his covenants and his gospel unto those who are of the house of Israel. Wherefore he will bring them again out of captivity. They shall be gathered together to the lands of their inheritance. And they shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness. And they shall know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. And the blood of that great and abominable church, which is the whore of all the earth, shall turn upon their own heads. For they shall war among themselves, and the sword of their own hand shall fall upon their own heads, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. in every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another, and they shall fall into the pit which they dig to ensnare the people of the Lord. And all that fight against Zion shall be destroyed. And the great whore who hath perverted the right ways of the Lord, yea, that great and unabominable church, shall tumble to the dust, and great shall be the fall of it. I want to call attention to the thing that is being said here. It says all that, I'm backing up here, it always says mentioning the house of Israel until it comes to this one place. And then it is pointing out to us that though the house of Israel is often thought of as a bloodline, as the physical blood of the seed of Abraham, that there shall be a time that it shall be more and more specific, even more confining than the seed in the blood of Abraham. Because, he says, and they shall fall into the pit which they dig not for the house of Israel, but for the people of the Lord to ensnare them. So we're not talking about only the bloodline of a man called Abraham, but we're talking about the ones that Christ was talking to when they said they were the blood of Abraham. And he said, if you were the seed of Abraham, you would do the works that Abraham did. And you would realize you had to walk in the path that Abraham walked. And this is what is being pointed out here, when this little change is put in the middle to show us that the house of Israel that is being talked about is not just a bloodline, but it's the people of the Lord. I'll start at 31. Well, before I go on, I have read to you that the ones who are at ease in Zion are in trouble. And the thing I'd like to point out to you, of all of these things that have happened, the reason why the people of Zion cannot be at ease, they can never say all is well, is because they must live in a certain way to maintain themselves as actually being residents of a place called Zion. So they cannot be at ease there. And above that, in the keeping of the commandments of the Lord, they hold a responsibility for the rest of the children of men. If you really believed that this church of Christ was the church that was established and restored, that Christ established when he was here in the flesh and he only had one, and that it held in his hand the gospel that should be carried forth to the children of men, the only hope for them to have that special blessing of contacting and acquiring the gift and power of the Holy Ghost, would you feel weighed down? Would you feel responsible for something that was far beyond you? Would you feel that in order to exercise your responsibility toward this and fulfill it, that you must have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost to carry this forth, because it's not humanly possible to cover all the bases? My brothers and my sisters, believe it, because it's true. That is our responsibility. And that's why it's so great That's why, as the world cries out and cannot find an answer, they have summit meetings of nations. They formulate plans and they do not work because they do not have the direction of God. Because we have not reached out and carried that gospel to them in such a way, in the way that a man called Nephi carried it forth, and when he spoke, his words were so faithful and so powerfully carried by the power of the Holy Ghost into the hearts of those who heard, they could not disbelieve. These things we must come to the place that we can do. And that's why all of us, as we speak these words, which are the Word of God, need your prayers and God's blessings to do that job. Now, as I go on, carry these things in our mind. And the great whore who hath perverted the right ways of the Lord, yea, that great and abominable church shall tumble to the dust, and great shall be the fall of it. For behold, saith the prophet, the time cometh speedily, that Satan shall have no power over the hearts of the children of men. For the day soon cometh, that all the proud and they who do wickedly shall be as stubble, and the day cometh that they must be burned. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved even if it so be as by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come, yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come. And it must needs be upon the face of this earth. And it cometh unto men according to the flesh, if it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel. For behold, the righteous shall not perish. For the time surely must come that all they who fight against Zion shall be cut off. And the Lord will surely prepare a way for his people unto the fulfilling of the words of Moses, which he spake, saying, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that all those who will not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. And now I, Nephi, declare unto you that this prophet of whom Moses spake was the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore he shall execute judgment in righteousness. And the righteous need not fear, for they are those who shall not be confounded. But it is a kingdom of the devil which shall be built up among the children of men, which kingdom is established among them which are in the flesh. For the time speedily shall come that all churches which are built up to get gain, and all those who are built up to get power over the flesh, and those who are built up to become popular in the eyes of the world, and those who seek the lust of the flesh and the things of the world, and to do all manner of iniquity, yea, and in fine, all those who belong to the kingdom of the devil, are they who need fear and tremble and quake. They are those who must be brought low in the dust. They are those who must be consumed as stubble. And this is according to the words of the prophet, and the time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And he gathereth his children from the four quarters of the earth, and he numbereth his sheep, and they know him, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd, and he shall feed his sheep, and in him shall they find pasture. And because of the righteousness of his people, Satan has no power. Therefore he cannot be loosed for the space of many years, for he hath no power over the hearts of the people, for they dwell in righteousness, and the Holy One of Israel reigneth. And now behold, I, Nephi, say unto you that all these things must come according to the flesh. But behold, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people shall dwell safely in the Holy One of Israel, if it so be that they will repent. And now I, Nephi, make an end, for I durst not speak further as yet concerning these things. Wherefore, my brethren, I would that you should consider that the things which have been written upon the plates of brass are true, and they testify that a man must be obedient unto the commandments of God. Wherefore ye need not suppose that I and my Father are the only ones that have testified and also taught them. Wherefore, if ye shall be obedient unto the commandments and endure to the end, ye shall be saved at the last day. And thus it is. Amen. The thing that I want to point out to you is there was a time that we read about upon this land. And concerning just before this time, similar to the wish of Job, but the mighty hand of God and the pen that he wields, it is etched upon the face of our land, the crucifixion of the Holy One of Israel. The face of the land is changed, and we see it, and it stands as a monument and a testimony of the truth of this story. But as we see this, it tells of a resurrection, of the fulfillment of a plan, that the Holy One of Israel was come to fulfill, to establish his kingdom, to bring about the plan that all men would be called back into the presence of God to be judged according to their works. And we look at our land, and we know that that Redeemer of Israel did live, because the land testifies eternally to our eye that it was so. Immediately following that time, as he became an immortal being, he came here to teach the people. He taught them the plan with great power and force, and all the people were converted to that plan. And they had a time when in the hearts of the people who are here, Satan was bound because of their righteousness, where he had no power over the hearts of the people here. And it says that never could a people have existed upon the face of this earth and been happier than they, because of the power of God that was made manifest among them. And that is why I say, as this is written here, there will be a time before Christ comes to call an end to the season when there will be righteousness upon the face of this land. And there are many scriptures that testify to this statement. I will go now to show a different time in different way that Satan will be bound. And it's written in the 20th chapter of Revelation. I'll read the first three verses. And here he was not bound by righteousness. He was bound by a mighty chain. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into a bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years were fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. I'm pointing out to you here that this time Satan was not bound by righteousness. He was bound by an angel that God sent forth that had a mighty chain in his hand. And he was not only bound, but he was cast into a bottomless pit. And he was shut up there. And there was a seal placed upon the pit, the only exit to the pit, so that if there was an exit, it would be recognizable. And he was bound there for a time, 1,000 years in this case. Not by the righteousness of the Lord's people, but by an angel of the Lord with a mighty chain in his hand, confined in a pit with a seal on its exit. The thing that I'm pointing out is this. The Lord's people have within their power the power to bind Satan for them. And the prophecies contain the written word showing the promise concerning those things. And that is the reason why, as we read over here in Joel, in the second chapter, I'll read from the 28th verse to the end of the chapter. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will shew wonders in heaven, in the heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. We had that mentioned before. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Once again, the signal to those who say, for instance, are in Zion, to not be at ease there. To recognize their position, their responsibility to the children of men. I realize you can say now, well, we don't have Zion. But my beloved brothers and sisters, we have the tools for Zion. We have the love, but the greed to reach out and grasp that will be contained in Zion. We have the rules to go by. And that's why I'm pointing out here, now, in this prophecy, in the writing of this, the prophet, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. They're going to have dreams. They're going to have visions. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out upon them. But even after all that, none of those people can be delivered unless they call on the name of the Lord. You can have all the other things that you want, but unless you come right down and humble yourselves and cry out to your God, believing that He will answer, there is no deliverance. I'll give you an example of this way back. You all know the story of Alma, the son of Alma. As he was suffering the pains of a damned soul, the most exquisite of anguish. And he endured that until the time that he remembered the one his father prophesied concerning, that Holy One of Israel, that Jesus Christ. And when he cried out to him for mercy, then the pains that he endured were taken from him, and he had joy within his heart, a joy that was equally as exquisite as the anguish, but now it was joy and comfort and love. And after he regained his physical faculties, he could think from that time on, and he rehearses the story to his son some years later, that he had worked from that time until then, the time that he was talking to his son, to try to bring the children of men to repentance, to share with them that exquisite love that he had acquired, that he felt that that Holy One of Israel had poured out upon him as he cried out from the depths of his soul to have. And therein, then and now, and in the future, lies the deliverance of each soul of mankind. You can say we will have nations that will be spared. There is a scripture which says that a nation shall be converted in a day. But you must remember that when this happened, that nation is made up of individuals like you and I. And each one of them, on their own, must bow themselves down on their knee and cry out to that Holy One of Israel. Yes, a nation will be converted in a day. But that nation is people, individuals, you and I. And then as it goes on, it says that they cry out to that Lord, they will be delivered. For in Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. The thing that we must remember, it has been prophesied that we will be able to build up holy cities to the Lord. They must be built by holy people. We can bind Satan. As a people, brothers and sisters, we will bind Satan. But we will do it because we have exercised our prerogatives of calling on the Lord from the depths of our soul and with all our might, mind and strength, in behalf of ourselves and in behalf of each other. And we will begin to know, as Christ knew, because He will make us aware. Like when the man came to Him and He says, if you would just say it, it would be so. If you would say my child would be healed, I know it would be done, even though that child was not there. And he told the man to go home. because the child is well. We will know that when our prayers are offered, that our brothers and sisters somewhere else has suffered, if you may say it that way, the effect of the Almighty God poured out upon them to touch them and to heal them and to bless them. Because you have offered your prayers for those things which are right and needful. We have this power within our hands, not because we are great, but because our Lord has promised it. And he said, if you do it, I will respond. And I will respond in a positive, recognizable way, so that you will know that I am the one who is by your side. Pray for me, brothers and sisters, that the job that the Lord has given me, I will be able to do, that he may be honored, that his people may be fed, that we all may be strong. Strong in our Lord. Strong in his spirit. Strong in his strength. Thank you very much.